This is a HeadGum Original.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Where do we begin?
A year ago, these cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened?
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman. Here's my card.
Bruce, this is Harvey Dent.
Rachel's told me everything about you.
I certainly hope not.
You once told me that we'd be together.
Did you mean it?
Bruce, don't make me your only hope for a normal life.
You're Alfred, right?
That's right, sir.
Any psychotic ex-boyfriends I should be aware of?
Oh, you have no idea.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment. Well, hello, beautiful. You look nervous.
I've seen now what I have to become to stop men like him.
The night is darkest just before the dawn. I promise you, the dawn is coming.
And here we go. This city deserves a better class of criminal. I'm gonna give it to him.
No!
You'll see.
I'll show you.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Be wanting the bat putter?
In the middle of the day, Alfred? Not very subtle.
The Lamborghini, then.
Much more subtle.
That was bad.
Yeah. I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm tired of this. I'm Nicole Byer.
And we're so deep in right now. We're covering Batman. This is the 8th episode of the 6th season. We are working our way through the Batman universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, and sometimes even people who've contributed.
And guess what? This is going to be 14 episodes culminating in a very exciting live stream episode. We're going to cover as much as we can to get an overview of the franchise, but we're not going to get to every dang thing.
No, and today we're going to be discussing the second Christopher Nolan Batman movie, The Dark Knight, also starring Christian Bale. So we're glad about that.
We love Christian Bale. Yeah. The Dark Knight is available with a subscription on Max, Prime Video, and you can watch it for a fee on Apple TV Plus or Google Play or Vudu.
And obviously, we're going to spoil the film.
We're going to spoil the hell out of this.
We're going to spoil every second of it.
Every little bit.
So watch it if you care. Imagine listening to this and not watching any of the things we're talking about. I'm sure
Some people do that.
But that's just interesting.
I wonder why. If you do that, tell us.
Yeah, write us a 5-star review where you explain why you do that.
That's a good idea.
It's
I was
a way
like,
to
find me on the
directly.
Street and tell me.
Well, our guests today are writers, comedians, and producers who you can now hear right here on HeadGum on their shows, Hollywood Handbook and The Flagrant Ones. It's Sean Clements and Hayes Davenport. Yay!
Hi.
Our first cross promo on HeadGum. Wow. Thank you. Hey. We got around to it. Yeah.
Big day
this
for the
is
studio.
A big one.
And yeah, you have your special hats huge. That I've been hearing so much about.
Yeah, let me flip it around for a second so people can see the hat pack logo.
So you guys are the hat pack nice. Similar
we
to
now mostly
the
sell hats. We're yeah. trying to not do
transitioning
podcast
out of podcast
anymore.
And yes. into hat,
more hat
sales.
Guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are so excited to talk about this movie. One of the best in the whole character and featuring the most iconic villain, Mr. Lau. The mysterious Mr. Lau.
You hear Batman and it just, the image jumps in your yeah. head of Mr. Lau thwarting him at every turn.
Yeah.
You know, going to a country with no extradition.
Yes.
And
the thing people all remember, yeah. the 50 minutes of the movie that's just dealing with Mr. Lau.
Oh, yeah. I just, when I think of Batman, I think of him doing international travel to yeah. extradite.
Yeah.
A criminal yeah. who has fled Gotham.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty impressive. I was like, wow, a boat with ladies and he swam to a plane?
I did like the boat.
And that was cool how he was yeah. on that boat. How familiar are you guys with Batman or the DC universe in general? Is that something you are passionate about?
I've seen a lot of the Batman movies and I like the Batman movies and I like Batman as a character because mm-hmm. I like detective stuff, but mm-hmm. I was a Marvel Comics person, so I didn't really read a lot of Batman comics, but I loved when I was a kid the like Tim Burton movies,
yeah,
and saw all these Nolan ones in the theater as soon as they came
out. Which
one's
your favorite?
Me? Well, you know, I don't know. I did rewatch the original, like the Michael Keaton Batman. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, I love mm-hmm. it. It's so fun. And then I think in my mind, I thought these movies were better, the Nolan ones. I have revisited Batman Begins, which we talked about a little bit before recording. And I think I've rewatched that one more because I like the training
yeah,
and
I like
an origin story
yeah. and we felt like it was such a good origin mm-hmm. story, so now we've seen seven,
the first in a trilogy. I tend to I think I like the first Lord of the Rings better too, like even though the
I
other
go
ones
back to
got
my
more
that's gross
got
I don't
more,
like it. I don't know Lord of the Rings
love
this.
But I think ugh. Like this the first one I've decided in my mind I was like, well, the Dark Knight is the best one, but as I rewatched it I was like, I think I like Batman Begins better.
I think I do too.
I agree.
Okay, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, midway through the movie, I was like, this one's the best one. The one we just watched was the best
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I know. Wait, Hayes, thoughts on Batman in general?
This one is my favorite by a lot. And growing up reading comics, I mostly followed comics writers that I really liked. And there's a guy named Grant Morrison that mm-hmm. Did one called Arkham Asylum that was really scary to me when I was a little kid. And it's about the Joker Man and
the Joker Man.
And he has some newer, that's what in the comics. So that like,
oh, really?
The
his
movie,
name is the Joker Man?
Yeah, that's what they call him in the oh. comics always. Yes, that's purely
it would be
a
little much with like the Batman, the Joker
exactly,
Man.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it was like just the person typing
man.
The script
Catwoman.
Thought it was too long Poison to write
lady.
Man every time.
Right, yeah, and they have to make it. This movie's 2.5 hours long.
And I think
so
the
yeah.
Bob Dylan song Joker Man had become so popular by the time they started making the films, they didn't want confusion.
I don't know.
I don't actually know if I know that, Bill Dylan.
Oh, God. Can you pull up Joker Man and play all of it right now?
7 minutes long. Oh, great.
Yeah, you'll like it.
That sounds, I think that was enough.
Sounds vaguely like something I know.
Yeah.
I saw this one in New York, which is in canonically right next to Gotham. And so, like, Gotham
okay,
is like the city.
I thought it was Chicago.
No, Gotham is like. In the comics, so Gotham and New York are like just sit right
oh,
next
they
to each
actually,
other.
Like that's known. Like it's next to New York.
They're like,
or it's not just because it feels
they're like neighbors.
Joker
yeah,
Man
like,
grew up in New York and
yes.
moved to Gotham.
Yeah.
So he has a little bit of like sort of like other like big city cred.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And I loved it so much, and I still really liked it rewatching it this time. And I also, so I work in City Hall now, and just that this movie is weirdly so much about municipal government.
You work in crazy. City Hall now?
Yes,
I want to know more about that.
Yeah, what do you do? That's okay. We could do that another time.
No, just really quickly.
But, yeah, real quick. I don't know what real jobs are.
I work in a city council office.
Doing what?
My title senior advisor. So I just give out
important.
All my famous advice. Yeah.
Advice to old people.
Where's Metropolis?
Metropolis is also right next to Gotham and New York, so
what?
It's
how are there so many
like
cities?
The tri-cities.
They're all right there.
Why are the cities? That's crazy.
Yeah,
it seems weird. They're right next to each other. Feels
well easier to do like to trade between them and things like that, and for crime fighting purposes, obviously it's easier.
Yeah,
all,
I mean, yeah, you can go home
right
in New York and then go to Gotham.
Yeah, so
and, like,
Spider-Man's in New York, Superman's in Metropolis, and Batman's in Gotham, but they're all right there. And
Superman's from Kansas.
Superman's from Kansas.
Yeah, but he operates in Metropolis.
I thought he was from like space.
I mean, we watched him be born.
Where, I mean, where space? Are we from? You know, this
we
is another conversation.
Not born,
like,
but like,
what would he
really
say
from?
if people were like, "Where are you from?"
No, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like I'm at Angelino at this point.
Yeah,
right?
But if people
like,
said, "Where are you from?" I would.
I've lived here, you know, for as long as
you say here, even though that's not accurate.
When people ask me where I'm from, I say I grew up in Los Angeles, even though I was born in Connecticut.
Yeah, but from like an improv perspective.
Yeah, that's where
he became a
really
man.
Came into my own as an improv performer.
And that's really how you know you're
and that's so
grown.
I mean, that's becoming like a real grown up.
Yeah,
like, everything before was like whatever.
Yeah, being a real
and,
baby.
Like, having
have
parents.
Any experiences. Yeah. Yeah.
But I love about this movie compared to all the Marvel movies you guys watched already, and it's like the world is falling apart or whatever. This movie's about the frickin' mayor and like just what's going on in this one city. Which, like, and you can't, like, it makes you invest in it just as much as, like, the, you know, Thanos is going to kill half the people in the world.
Yeah, that, I thought that was a pretty rude idea. Like, and I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
Why do you want to kill half the people again?
Okay, he explains it, like at length.
I haven't seen it, but it seems like something that he would cover.
I can't do that. But let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more about the Dark Knight.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer. Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
And we're back. This is the first movie not released in June. This was from my observations. This is
really
the one thing you're like really like locking in. Like they always come out in June.
Can I guess when it was released?
Yes.
July.
But what date?
Well, I mean, that's
well,
a lot.
If you're going to guess.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to guess the actual date.
Let's go.
You also looked at the script.
Yeah, you were.
I did read the entire script.
He was reading
my
personal
script. Yeah, he was just sitting out here.
My diary.
Yeah.
Wow, not our diary.
I guess get here before your guess if you don't want to read the entire script.
Oh, my God.
I think it was July 18th.
Yeah. Yes, because you see right here.
Well, I don't,
July 18th.
What year?
But I'm not looking at it now.
What year?
So the memorization.
That's the skill.
What year?
2008.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
there's cheaters in the house. The it was written
No. I
Christopher
remember.
Christopher Nolan, Jonathan Nolan. Ooh,
at the time, I was anticipating the financial crisis.
Brothers?
That's why I was in New York to warn
put my cheaters on.
Right? And David S. Goyer.
Okay. Was it Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonathan? He's like, you want to write
his
the film?
Or his dad, or his cousin.
It is his brother.
Cool.
He and my wife are working together on a show right now. He kicks ass.
Amazing.
He's
that's
so
fun.
Cool. Fun fact about Christopher and Jonathan Nolan.
Yes.
Jonathan goes by Jonah mostly. Christopher is British.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan is not British.
How? I think someone told me this.
That is, it's,
are they half siblings?
No, they are full on siblings.
Then
and
how
basically,
did that
they moved to the States,
mm-hmm.
as Christopher would say. Jonathan would just call it America.
Home. Yeah.
Here.
Here. When Christopher's older, and he had basically become British, his Britishness was like set.
He was British pilled.
Yes.
He was a little kid and he learned to speak with the British.
At some point,
accent.
It just locks in.
Yeah.
And Jonah was young enough still at the time that they moved that it had not like fully set.
That is actually
That's
so
very
odd.
Funny.
It's
that
like
must
a kiln.
Not happen very often.
Wait, how far apart are they?
I think only not that far, like,
so, like
three or four
school,
years or something.
Like one
but,
of them.
But Jonah
like,
has a Chicago type accent. Like they
wow.
don't.
That's
they,
wild.
They sound nothing alike.
That's so interesting.
Yeah,
it's
Wait,
weird.
That's like that movie we watched, Batman something with
Batman
Alicia Silverstone.
Finn. Oh, Batman and Robin.
Because she's like, I'm from England.
Yes.
And we're like,
and we were like, no, you're not. You don't have an
maybe
accent.
Maybe it's like that.
Oh my God.
Selling Sunset. Are those little twins named the Oppenheimer?
Oppenheimer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I thought that must have been kind of exciting for them when their name was being talked about so much on everybody's lips this summer. Well, we are going to jump into the plot of this film. We're going to get into it. And we want to thank so deeply the Batman Fandom Wiki because they really helped.
They helped so much.
They help us know what happened, okay?
Yeah.
And we love you. So jumping right in.
Yeah.
Okay, about 9 months after the end of Batman Begins, The Dark Knight opens with a gang of masked criminals robbing a mafia-owned bank in Gotham City, each betraying and killing each other until the sole survivor, the Joker, Heath Ledger, reveals himself as the mastermind and escapes with the money.
I thought this was pretty cool.
Now, what I'm realizing as I was watching this was I saw this movie when it came out and had never seen the one before. And there's a lot you need to know from the previous one, I felt.
But also helpful
yeah.
in some ways that you had not seen, for example, a completely different actress.
That's true.
Playing one of the main characters.
But you don't know their backstory.
No.
Like, they don't fill you in that like they have this relationship. So
oh, yeah.
you kind of
no,
have to
not
know.
At all.
Yeah.
And you don't even know through most of the movie that she knows who Batman
right.
is.
That I was going like, wait, does she know? She does
yeah.
know
yeah.
that,
she knows
that he's Batman,
leftover
right?
From the first one.
If she's
yeah.
Katie Holmes,
yes,
Maggie Gyllenhaal replaced her.
Yes,
but like that really confused me. And then I was like, I felt like they should have filled people in a little bit on their past.
Yes, I feel like they. No, I guess they really did.
They say that she was like basically childhood friends with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's then, like one line.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty deep in that she makes it clear that she knows that
yeah.
Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
In other movies, I feel like they would have gone harder with like establishing who everyone is, especially because of the new actress, and just been like, Rachel Dawes, the same person that, can you believe all that stuff happened to you in the last movie, and that was you?
Yeah.
It's the same person.
But does she have a different job?
No. Oh, no, because in the first scene, they're in the court, right?
And was she like, in court?
She works
She was a district attorney previously.
Yeah. Oh, but we just never saw her in court.
I think she was just always walking down the hall and stuff. I don't think she
This is one of my big observations about this movie, though. Like, for I think of Christopher Nolan as, like, he made all these other movies where he's very comfortable with the audience being confused for a lot of the movie. Like, Inception. And then I went, but he made those mainstream Batman movies that everybody likes that were a lot clearer. And then I watched this and I go, no, he also was willing to let you be confused. Because that first, like, scene where the there's, like, copycat Batman vigilantes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That has not been explained at all. And there's other Batmans popping up and they're beating them up. And it's like, that's not really him. And then they're cutting to him watching. And I was like, oh, he's just okay with the audience being in a place of discomfort and being like, which I guess he didn't care. He probably wasn't thrilled, but switching actresses and just going like, they'll figure it out as they go. They'll figure out how they know each other. But he'll leave it and let you figure it out a half hour later and doesn't care if part of the movie you're going like, wait, who's that?
The people who are pretending to be Batman, I didn't get that for like a minute.
They don't talk about it until later.
Wait, what? And then I was like, oh, I guess they're pretending to be Batman.
They're kind of doing
why.
A good job. Except that they have guns. Which is like, wow, Batman is crazy.
When I saw the gun, I was like, wait, Batman has a gun?
But then when Batman bent the gun, I was like, that was hot.
The vigilante Batman, Christian Bale, District Attorney Harvey Dent, Aaron Eckhart, who's wearing one of the worst wigs.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if he dyed his hair blonde.
Fucking seen. No, that's a nasty ass wig.
That was a wig.
It was sick.
Yeah.
I don't know who approved it. It was very bad and I hated it.
You don't see a lot of men with naturally really blonde hair.
No, not like that.
Yeah.
With no part, no scalp, nothing.
Good point. He didn't have a scalp.
Just the most amazing look. And that I think that crazy wig complements his look.
Yes.
He has basically a cup holder. On his chin.
His jaw is the strongest jaw on
strong
Earth.
Jaw.
You could tell me it was fake and I would believe that.
I would also believe you.
And I think he's good, but it's almost a miscast, I feel like, because you are supposed to, by the end of the movie, this guy's supposed to be like the purest good until something happens.
I never thought he was good.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a like slightly villainous, like,
I always thought he was bad.
Trust. Mm-hmm. Aaron Eckhart, like,
I didn't trust him. I thought
he gives off pure evil vibes.
Yeah, he's been introduced to society as like pure evil, and like in the company of men.
That's,
and like,
that's the
thank
most
you
evil,
for smoking.
That's
and,
the most
like,
evil
all
character
these movies
I've ever
where
seen.
It's like, yes, he's that is the whole idea of that character is he's like the most sociopathic, toxic male
and he's
ever.
Perfect.
Alive.
Aaron Eckhart is perfect.
It
for
was
that character.
So confusing Incredible. To me though because I'm watching now that we've watched all these. I'm like, oh, so he's going to be Two-Face.
Yes,
and I vaguely remember that about him from when I saw this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, so he's bad. Like, I just was like,
he's
bad.
Just assuming that something is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the turn only works to becoming Two-Face if you've been like, I trust this man with my life implicitly. Yeah. And you're always like, I don't think
he likes his girlfriend.
I don't think he likes her at all. I don't think he just wanted to like get ahead and like win her over.
He wanted to get her instead of Bruce or whatever.
Yes. You're just like, what's he running the whole time?
It's so true.
But you're not supposed to think that.
Yeah, that's
looks
weird.
Right. It's good. There's like comic booky elements of the movie where it's like some of the people just look like you said, like the bad wig, I think, is part of like it looks like you could draw it. Like you could draw this character. And like, is it Eric Roberts as like the crime boss too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looks like he walked off a comic
He's
book page in a way that's
person,
cool.
Yeah.
I had a friend who did a movie with Aaron Eckhart and just talked like he was going back. He was going to do reshoots with him. And like, I don't know what the movie is. I don't even remember. But he just was like, going back to. And I was like, what's up? Is he like a dickhead? He's like, no, he's not. He's just like got like a frat bro energy coupled with like super passionate artist, like about the acting.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, bro, we're gonna fucking do this scene today. Like, let's do this. It's just like, he's like, it's just like, it's good. Like,
I
he's really
like
good,
that.
But it's like,
I
he's
like that.
He's
yeah.
like, it's really tiring.
I like it. Like, I like that. I like when people are giving themselves up to what's corny about what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I could see how that would be like after 12 hours.
I can
like,
see it. As soon as I heard it, I could totally see it of like, he's really into it.
Yeah.
And he has a little bit of a like, just
the
like
physicality.
Can you believe it? Like, it's like a sports team thing for him.
Yeah.
But like, but we're
that's cute.
But we're in a play.
You gotta have some of those.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like someone who has so much energy that it seems like they pass away at night.
Like, like a, he goes home, he turns into like a husk.
Yeah,
he doesn't speak at all to his friends or family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And comes back that they fully revitalize like an entirely new body.
Yeah.
Like, he
like Kevin Hart is one of those
carapace.
People. Yeah. Thing passes away at night. I was on the set of Ride Along 2 doing like interviews or something, and he was doing this scene and the director gave him a note. He didn't do any of the note, but it was like, like came down the stairs funny, and he was like, just walk down the stairs, and he kept walking
that's
down the stairs
so
funny.
Funny.
And I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
This man must
just not listening
pass
but
away.
Delivering something else.
Yeah.
That's great.
It does feel
unhinged.
Like that they just swap them out at
And Police Lieutenant Jim Gordon, Gary, I call him Gary Oldman, but I think it's Oldman, ally to eliminate Gotham's organized crime. Bruce Wayne publicly supports Dent as Gotham's legitimate prosecutor, as Wayne believes Dent to be the White Knight of Gotham City, the hero to the people that Batman cannot be. Bruce also realizes Dent's success will allow the Batman to retire, allowing him to romantically pursue his childhood friend and Gotham's assistant district attorney, Rachel Dawes, Maggie Gyllenhaal, despite her relationship with Dent.
Yeah, I feel like I never processed them saying he's the White Knight. I feel like they, I just thought they were all wrong. I just
that's totally, and they say it so much, and it's the entire
it, like,
premise
the
of the movie. But you're still just like,
yeah,
because
no.
Even at the end,
this guy,
I was like, why is he getting credit? Like, I was so confused. I truly did not get that he was supposed to be good.
Yeah, because
they didn't do a good
job. It was
job
like
that.
They didn't do a good job of showing him being good. They just said it a bunch,
right.
And they were like, people are gonna like, you know, revolt if like they find out that this good man murdered people with his eyeball. Almost fallen out.
But like, they should know that, by the way. It was insane.
It was wild.
What if it's like a commentary on our, the way that we see politicians?
I mean, maybe.
Oh,
if
maybe.
They get
disillusioned. We like think that they're so great, but then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, but Bruce Wayne does believe that too.
Right,
and
but it's like
so does Batman. Like, again, you sort of wonder if Bruce Wayne is like trying to expose him, just like the villainous Mr. Lau, right? But like, he really does believe in Aaron Eckhart's character. But this also talks about like his main motivation is to steal his GF. Like that.
Yeah.
That's what that's what the entire thing is about.
So he does want to smash, and he also like the reason that he believes in him so much is that he has dinner with him as Bruce Wayne, and that Aaron Eckhart is going like, dude, Batman rocks.
Yes.
I love Batman. And Bruce Wayne is going like, I think this is the real deal.
That is funny, because
that
it is exactly what
like,
happens.
He's a fan of my shit. I'm a fan of him.
But when they have the dinner, Bruce is like, let's push tables together. And then Harvey's like, no. And I'm like, he's being a dick. Like, he wasn't like being like a warm, inviting mayor. Mm. He was like, no. And then he's like, I don't think we can do that. He's like, I own this place. And then they do. And I'm like, Harvey doesn't want to have dinner with you. It was like another example of him.
Because
not being...
he knows that. Doesn't he know that there's something like between them?
Oh, that's his past.
Yeah, that's like his childhood best friend.
Okay,
and there
but
might
that
be something
was not
there.
Explained.
Yeah,
but I guess
Christopher Nolan wants
know,
you to infer
I'm just
things.
Supposed to know that from the previous film.
Yeah,
okay.
He really wants the audience to do some of the work, and I'm not used
tough.
To that.
Yeah, that's tough for me. I watch Real Housewives.
Used to it being done for me.
So at the trial of crime boss Maroni, Dent and Rachel flip Dent's lucky coin to decide who will lead the proceedings.
Macaroni. Sorry.
And again,
just go
I
ahead.
Thought they hated each other in this scene when they're about
sure.
to. Dent wins and defends himself against an assassination attempt in the courtroom by a corrupt witness. Gotham's mob bosses see the combined effort of Dent, Batman, and Gordon as a threat and decide to meet and discuss how to handle it. Their Chinese accountant, Lau, informs them that he has secretly relocated the mob's money to Hong Kong to prevent the police from seizing it with an imminent bank raid. The Joker arrives, kills one of the boss's henchmen with a magic trick, suggests that Lau will give them all up to the police if he's caught, and proposes that he kill Batman for half of the mob's money. They laugh him off with one of the mob bosses' gamble.
Too long. Was even offering a ransom on
Joker's life,
was
the money Joker leaves, leaving one of the Congress behind.
The money was hidden. He put himself in Hong Kong, and then the money was hidden. But
hidden
I thought
somewhere.
The money
they
was
don't
hidden.
Say exactly where it was. The scene.
I don't believe
where...
they moved all the currency, and that they show them loading it into a truck from the different
yeah.
banks.
Don't move it to Hong
and it's
Kong
still in the truck.
The Joker burns some of it later while they're in Gotham.
Cross that out. Yes, exactly. Yeah, they're
it's
in
the
Gotham.
Batman Wiki. Yeah.
Now we got to meet the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
It is an exciting moment. I sent you a screenshot that had the subtitles on, and then there's like the Joker walks in, he's like ooh ee ah ha,
yeah.
And I wrote.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I hope he wrote that out.
Yeah.
I always wonder if the subtitles are based on what is being said or what the script says, because sometimes they're different.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like they don't say exactly what the actor said.
And sometimes you go, oh, they condensed this line for time so the subtitles would be correct. But sometimes you go, oh, this actor ad-libbed something else and they just never fixed it.
I don't know why that is, but...
Well, on my show, Subtitles On, we talk a lot about subtitles.
Is this a thing?
Yes. We don't talk a lot about subtitles, but
oh, okay, but they're on.
They're on.
They're on.
And I watch the movies with the subtitles.
Well,
on.
I'm doing it especially with this because
yes,
it really
you don't
helps
miss
me
it.
Understand the scene.
And if you're reading, you have to stay awake.
Yeah, and I can't be on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Yeah.
I like the little TV Law was on. I was like, this is not high
me
tech.
Me too. And
at
it also
all.
Reminded me of Lost. Did you watch Lost?
Sure didn't.
Just like that old TV
that
sort of like coming through.
Do every episode.
You got to do
of Lost.
Yes.
I honestly would watch it all
newcomers
again.
Newcomers to Lost. Oh,
I've
yeah.
Seen
it's good.
I loved Lost.
I guess I'd watch it. Later,
that'd
the joke.
Fun.
Nicole,
that'd
you
be fun.
Would love it.
But would I?
I don't know.
It's fun. I don't know if you would, but it is fun. I still think we should kind of do Survivor.
Have you seen Survivor?
No.
I haven't seen Survivor either.
Oh, gosh. Oh, guys.
What the premise
gotta,
is just
people love Survivor.
But
people do love it.
But what
look
would you
how
be
good
doing?
This would be. It's
already
happening.
Would you be starting from season
I think
one?
We have to do the current season.
Probably. How many seasons? There's like 40
the
seasons.
The first season was like a million years ago.
There are the it. I think 39 is starting soon.
Or is it?
We're
past that. Or is it? We're at like
no,
45.
I'm sorry. 40. Wait.
45?
I think so.
Wait,
it's
but,
been on for 45.
No, I'm
years.
Sorry. We are past that because I remember that 40 was Winners at War, where they brought back all the winners from the first like 40 seasons. But I want to say that I just saw Jeff Probst announced the premiere date of the new season with 90 minute episodes and and I do have to see now what number it was. It's gotta be,
and I want to pitch to Sean, here's how I think it should work, and I haven't seen as much as Sean has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
but
45.
I do think you should start with season one,
uh-huh,
but then just like pick the big seasons.
Oh, okay.
Through.
Yeah, because it's
okay.
Some of the first few seasons are like not good, and it was before reality TV was totally figured out, so like when it's a not good season, it's like a real slog.
But I think I know who won the first one.
A man
like,
named
oh,
Richard.
Richard Hatch.
And he was like a
and
little
he was, like,
round
naked all the time.
He was always
so
naked. He then committed tax fraud and got arrested
based on the money he won, or was it
he claims that Survivor said they were going to pay the taxes for it. It's like a whole thing, but
Richard,
then he couldn't get brought back.
Richard.
Anyway, Batman.
Yeah. Okay. Batman. So
I
we
just
need
want
the
to say
Joker.
Briefly that I appreciate that they never talk about his parents in this movie.
Batman's?
Yes.
Well, yeah, we got
48 years old or whatever he is.
That is true, but I liked the way they handled it in the previous movie.
I liked it too.
But we now know enough about him. We don't need to
know. Yeah, we don't need to know it.
And Joker, obviously, Heath Ledger is amazing. I mean, I feel like it's.
He was great.
It's so creepy.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
Later, the Joker ambushes Gamble. Is that how you say it? At his headquarters.
Gamble. I don't know.
Gamble. At his headquarters, holding him with a knife to in his mouth, and explains how he got his scars. In a drunken rage, his father stuck a knife in the Joker's mouth, asking him, why so serious? And offering to put a smile on his face, he kills Gamble and holds tryouts among Gamble's men for a spot in his crew.
Well, we don't know if one of these stories is true.
It's two truths and a lie. Yeah.
Yeah, which one's
He's
true?
He's like, when he goes to like slice everyone, he says a different story.
Give
which
them
is
a
so
Glasgow
silly.
Smile.
But also it's like, just kill people. Why tell a little story?
Yeah. Just to make him scared. That's the part he likes.
Mm.
He likes to watch them.
Oh, yeah. It's not just about death. I mean, that's why he doesn't use a gun.
Yeah, he did explain.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to watch the emotion.
He uses a knife because he wants to see them scared.
So with the help of Wayne Enterprises CEO Lucius Fox,
I love Lucius,
Morgan Freeman,
I love him.
Bruce travels to Hong Kong to capture Lau, delivering him to Gotham police. Lau takes a plea deal, giving up the name of all his clients, and the mob bosses are arrested.
The Joker then broadcasts a message to all of Gotham stating that if Batman does not turn himself into the police, he will kill innocent people every day. The police find DNA on the cards the Joker leaves behind. They realize on the next that they're the next on his list. Commissioner Loeb, Judge Sorello, and Dent. Gordon can't move fast enough to protect Sorello and Loeb. Sorello's car blows up. That was wild. And Loeb drinks poisoned whiskey.
So this was when they they found all those little Joker cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had the DNA of three prominent people.
How did he do that?
Just as you talk about like the people that are getting targeted and stuff, you are sort of asking, it never comes up, but just like, where is the president? Where is the where
this
is
city,
the FBI
on its own?
Yes,
because
Gotham goes through
absolutely
a lot in this movie.
Yes. Yeah,
it's and almost, people it are also.
And is the mayor of New York worried? Like they're right.
Yeah,
next
they're
door.
Right there. Yeah. Joker can cross over back to his
George
hometown.
George W. Bush's second term. Like where is George W. Bush?
Yeah,
he's like reading books to kids.
Feels like he'd have to make a statement or something.
It would be fun if they had president cameos in films.
So there is a senator, Patrick Leahy, is one of the guys in the scene who the Joker almost kills from the Dent fundraiser. That was a sitting U.S. senator.
Oh. In real life?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
And just in a movie?
He's just, he loves, just having a nice
Batman. I don't like that.
Me either. Yeah. Go make laws.
Yeah. Don't have fun like this.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
He's in a movie and I'm not.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Now that's fucked
up.
How does that
be a politician?
Oh, so, why don't I just go do some Senate? How about I do some Senate on you then, sir?
I'd like to see you do some Senate.
How about Senator, I do some Senate on you, and you
Senator
just and you just watch.
Vermont,
you sit and watch.
Of all places.
Yeah, that from feels Vermont. Like it's kind of chill, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not used to dealing with a Joker type situation.
Yeah. No, not at all. Population is too small.
His fear is very
real. What are
real.
The odds? Yeah. At a fundraising party thrown for him by Bruce, Dent privately proposes to Rachel, but before she can reply, Bruce grabs Dent and forces him away to a safe room. The Joker then interrupts the party, demanding to see Dent. He moves on to Rachel, assuming she's Dent's girlfriend, grabbing her and threatening her with a knife. He tells her another story about how he got his scars, that his wife told him he worried too much, so he stuck a razor blade in his mouth. That one didn't work for me. It was kind of confusing.
It wasn't really that he worried too much either. I'm
That's
sort
not
of
right.
That. Now it's time for me to call in the Batman Wiki.
Yeah.
I wouldn't characterize it as worrying
well,
too much
she,
at all.
She tells him to smile.
Yeah.
She tells him to smile,
she was cut up for her gambling debt. Yes.
But that's what happens next. He goes, it started because she thought I didn't smile enough. And then she wasn't smiling because she had scars.
It's kind of missing
and then, so
a big
I
step.
Gave myself a big knife cut. It was like, it was weird.
It was very,
it was
very
like,
weird.
I hadn't seen her
the guy's
smile.
Weird.
It's implied
let's
that he
like,
did the knife
just
cut
talk about it.
To make her smile.
The guy's freaking weird.
He's a little
oh,
weird.
He's
very
so
strange.
Unusual. And so much of his behavior to me is like truly odd. I don't want to characterize that as negative because obviously we
different.
All have
it's
our
different.
Quirks.
Yeah, very different. It's,
but it's not, a lot of it is not for
my
me.
Hang-ups.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. It's unusual. You don't see it every
it's
day.
It's not the
no,
energy
sure
I
don't.
Choose to surround myself.
I'll say,
with.
You know, I'm heading for the elevator and Joker's holding the door. I'll take the stairs.
Yes.
And then just not, no
I'm
judgment.
I'm so lazy,
but
I would get in.
Like,
I would just be like,
hopefully
whatever.
The door's closed.
It is what it is. Yeah. I once got in an elevator with a man smoking crack.
Wow.
Because, okay, I didn't want to like other him and be like.
I've literally had moments like that where I get in a weird elevator and I'm like, well, it'd be rude to leave now.
He was like on the floor and I was like, I don't want to feel bad about like he's on the floor. And then as soon as the doors closed. He took out some tinfoil and started smoking crack.
Amazing.
And I was like, I made a bad choice.
I was in one with a guy who was like clearly not. He was saying really odd things to me in a Joker style.
Oh no.
And I was like, And then I got out and I was like, why didn't I get out when I felt the energy shift in this space?
I don't know.
Sometimes women are too nice.
Yeah.
Rachel fights back. She wasn't being too nice. She kicks him in the nuts. And just then, Batman swoops in to fight him. The Joker drops her out of a window, but Batman manages to save her. This was crazy.
This Batman pretty entrance wild. Is very good, too, when he goes, you got some fight in you. I like that. And then Batman goes, then you're going to love me.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I felt like... they had a shot for that. It's all ADR. You just hear him, and then he's like, he's just suddenly
it must have
it.
Sucked to film in that voice so much.
I like, was
it
wondering,
just shredded.
Well,
shit.
By the
is
end.
It all,
he like Christopher Nolan made it much lower than it than he actually.
Oh, God, I was thinking about trying to do it all day and like do multiple takes, and it would just fucking
it would just be so exhausting.
It's a Nolan thing across this franchise. Everyone is like the voice energy is so insane. Somehow I do think it all basically worked, or, except for I don't want to spoil the next movie for you, but that's when it really comes to a head, and I think people were like, okay.
Is it
someone
is
should needed and, to have a conversation earlier?
Wait, Christopher Nolan again for the next
one? Yeah, we got three
he's
Nolans.
Got one more.
Yes, except for weirdly, the Scarecrow, who should sound totally crazy and is just a
the Scarecrow
very
kind of
just
scary.
I think the Scarecrow is pretty scary.
Picture I've ever seen.
I think they leave his voice because they're like, it's already scary.
It's weird enough.
I did like when Bruce was leaving and this lady was like, ooh, you have a panic room or whatever. And then the door closed and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That made me giggle.
Yeah. Oh, and also, okay, so he saved Rachel in a very amazing way.
Yeah, it was
she's
pretty wild.
Flying down
was,
the side of a building, he zooms
very
down.
He wraps her up in his little cape.
Yeah.
And then they land on a cab.
And then she's like, let's not do that again.
Which I wouldn't want to.
No, she's like, this was too crazy. Okay. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'm okay too.
I'm also your boyfriend.
Where the fuck are we? There's so, much.
Yeah, hold on. Let me check real quick. Oh, no, wait. Okay. I'm down here with you.
Okay.
The memorial.
At a memorial for Loeb, Joker and his henchmen disguised as the ceremonial arms shoot at Mayor Garcia during the 21-gun salute. Really? Are we there already?
We have to be.
Jordan jumps in front of Garcia and is shot in the back, saving Garcia. The memorial breaks into a chaotic riot, and the Joker and his men disappear into it.
That guy, the mayor, that guy in everything he's in.
Mm-hmm. Nestor Carbonell.
Nestor Carbonell.
Oh, I like him.
I see him, I see him sometimes.
He's in Lost. And
I believe he was
sitcom.
On Suddenly Susan.
Suddenly Susan.
Yes.
Thank
That's
you.
What I know him from.
And he has the darkest eyelashes in the world.
It's
really
it's
crazy.
The entire eye thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how
it's
that effect is created. Mm-hmm. It's in every movie, though.
It's
so
literally
it
his eyelashes.
It's his eyelashes. It's his eyelashes.
I saw him at Rite Aid like a month ago, and I was texting exclamation points. Red alert,
like?
Nestor Carbonell sighting.
Did he have the same?
They look like that.
They just look like that. That's amazing. He looks like a silent film chanteuse.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good
it's
word.
Awesome.
Chanteuse.
Meanwhile, Batman tries to get information on the Joker out of Maroni by capturing and interrogating him. Maroni tells him that no one will go against the Joker because the Joker has no rules, while Batman has a strict moral code and won't kill. He then tells Batman the only way he'll find the Joker is if he gives into his demands and lets the Joker find him.
That's another thing they never say that's kind of cool. They talk about his one rule, but it's never, he's never, I will never kill anybody.
But I do like how he gets around
rule number one,
it.
End of list. It's no doing killing on anyone.
Yeah. But that's why I didn't like the end, because he gets blamed.
But it's like he didn't break his rule, but he. But I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay,
I think that is good that he's willing to protect the city.
Yeah,
he's willing to like have
team.
His reputation tarnished. Because that's the other thing I do want to say. I really do. Is done even better than I remembered. Where Bruce Wayne as Bruce Wayne is such a heel and is such a like. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos type, like doing all these big stunts and really lets everyone think he's a total asshole
Which
as much as
great.
Possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's such a good, like, cool character trait where, like, to protect the Batman thing, he's willing to be disliked.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I don't know, it makes it all the more noble. I think
it
it's really well done. The big stunt with the boat that we mentioned and everything,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was great.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's cool because it, I mean, also, we love Christian Bale and how he plays both
so
roles, but it makes it feel like more, like the fact that he's willing to sacrifice his reputation is interesting because I think a lot of people, you'd really want to be like, I'm actually Batman. Like, I'm actually a really good person.
Yeah, or even like, it's like
you don't know.
Yeah, it's like either being like, okay, I can't tell them I'm Batman, but they do have to think I'm cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like, I am Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like during
a lot
the day,
of billionaires
at least
would
like
have a hard
me.
Time
yes.
with that.
I would struggle with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't even have that much money. Yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see what this episode does.
Manifest like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A paranoid schizophrenic named Thomas Schiff is picked up by police, and Dent interrogates him about Joker. When he sees that Schiff is wearing a name tag that says Officer Rachel Doth, the Joker truly, I gotta say, this man really has a plan.
I didn't, he's got so I didn't many get plans. Why he was wearing.
And he says that he doesn't have a plan. It's like, okay, yeah, you got these name tags and great.
You got them made. Yeah. Yeah.
But that was to like show thing. that she's
next.
And okay. He has to hire someone. He can't just go into the name tag place. He has to hire someone to go in and make that
and
request.
And it's one single name tag. Like, it's not that easy to get one name tag.
No, you have to buy a bunch of them. So do you think he's got like a bin of Rachel Dawes name tags?
Normally when I get name tags.
Yeah, where are the rest of the Rachel Dawes name tags?
Dent calls Rachel to tell her that she's the Joker's next target and goes to Bruce for protection. Dent roughs up Schiff and takes out his lucky coin, telling him heads he lives, tails he dies. Just then, Batman interrupts and reprimands Dent, telling him that Dent has to be the morally righteous protector of Gotham. Back home, Bruce and Rachel talk intimately, and Bruce asks Rachel if she would still be with him if he wasn't Batman anymore. She says yes, and then they kiss, and I was like, yeah.
I know. Wow. I want this relationship.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, she just straight up cheated on her boyfriend.
Yeah, but
she
we did. Don't care because he's evil.
He is a bad boy. He's bad.
But he doesn't like her enough.
He only gets turned evil by
her he doesn't
exploding.
Like her enough.
He doesn't like her enough.
He doesn't react hardly when she's killed in that way.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't react enough to anything she does. Even when they're in the courtroom
when they're
together,
in the courtroom
he's like,
at the
he's
beginning,
like so condescending.
It's like they seem like they are coworkers who despise
who are enemies.
Yes.
I found that
and that
so
you're supposed
weird.
To come. That's the craziest scene in the movie. We went past it, but when he's prosecuting the one guy, he thinks he's gonna testify against Maroney. Apparently, the plan is for him to take the blame himself, the witness, and then to try and kill the DA, which is like kind of undercuts the first part of the plan.
Yeah, like going back on your testimony is like if you're going to kill the DA, just do that straight up.
Yes. But the gun is Chinese.
Well, Mr. Lau takes an additional L. Because as his home country is disparaged on the record.
The
stenographer has to write that down.
Yeah.
That's pretty nasty.
That the Chinese gun.
If you want a good
jammed,
gun,
of course.
Have it made in America.
Yeah. It was wild.
I was like, what angle
are you pushing?
Yeah.
Isn't it also crazy? You almost got killed.
We do make
but then
guns.
He was like, I saved everybody.
He's like, I'm actually fine. They walk out of the courtroom together. They're
he's just
like,
happy. I'm like, there could be more people with guns. Like, no
and
one's
by
protecting
the way,
you
say he doesn't like her enough. She is like giddy about him
she's
almost
like, oh,
getting
that was
shot.
Crazy. If you're not almost getting shot, you're not doing your job right. I was like, okay.
But it makes
come
her
on, bitch
pretty,
boy.
It makes her pretty
like,
horned
if,
up
she's like,
as
but
well.
If you feel scared, we could go home and fuck around all day. He's like, not scared enough.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have sex with her because he doesn't
tell
love her.
Tell the mayor you're having a panic attack so we can fucking slam.
Just let's go. And he said no. It's really rude.
But I'm not horny.
I'm just not horny right now. You see, let's flip my coin and see if
my
dick will get
hard. I'm horny for justice.
Honestly, funny. Let's flip this coin and see if I'm horny.
So at a press conference, Dent claims he's Batman, hoping to lure the Joker out of hiding. Rachel, upset with Bruce for protecting Dent by speaking up, leaves Alfred a note to give to Bruce when the time is right. After his arrest, Dent's van transport is ambushed by a garbage truck and semi-trailer driven by the Joker and his thugs. Batman arrives in the Batmobile, crashing the garbage truck, and the Batmobile crashes when it intercepts the Joker's RPG, and Batman's secondary transportation, the Batpod, bursts out of the front. I didn't even know that name.
That's called a Batpod? I thought it was just a Batcycle
like
or something.
The Batpod bursts out of the front of the self-destructing Batmobile. Batman stops the Joker's truck and crashes the Batpod so as not to hit the Joker, who taunts him from the middle of the street.
Why not just hit him?
I don't know. But he doesn't want to kill him. Suddenly, Gordon, who faked his death and had actually been driving Dent's transportation van,
that's
sneaks
when
up
I cried.
Behind the Joker and arrests him. I was so glad.
I thought he was gone.
I thought he was gone.
Oh, my God.
I was very glad because his whole family, when he had, they had to go deliver the news to his wife.
Yes. And that was so
sad.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, yes, I was so sad that Gary Oldman
was
gone.
Again.
And I was so excited to see him again.
He's so juiced up when he tells his kid that he saved Batman.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm kind of the big badass in town.
It's implied that that's the kid he likes more than his wife and his other kid.
That was wild.
So that's why he's like trying to impress him.
That was nuts.
Like,
which one do you love the most?
Maybe you're into some of my shit.
Not that one. not the boy.
Timmy's obviously.
But you called him the boy. And I was like, did they just not name him the
script? Don't hurt the boy.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Nikki Catt, who plays a very thankless role of this in this movie, being the passenger in the Dent transportation van, who has to just like say where they're going like 50 times and be like, if we get out here, then we'll be safe from the Joker. So this is the location that we have to get to.
That's fun.
The driver is just never responding to him. And he never mentions like
he's not there.
Hey man, like, are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking to you.
It's helpful what I'm
That's
telling
very
you.
Very funny. Yes. Yeah. Dent is released and applauded by the press for his bravery, and Gordon is promoted to commissioner for his efforts. With the Joker in custody, everybody seems safe and sound.
However, when it's revealed that Dent never made it home, Batman aggressively interrogates
that sucks.
The Joker.
They really worked hard to stop him from being captured in that last scene.
Yeah.
And then
they're
just
like,
hey. But then
that cop lady lets him get in a weird car, and she knows, doesn't she?
It turns out that she knows because she, like many other people in this movie, has a relative in the hospital.
Oh my God, everyone does. Everybody's my so wife's sick. In the hospital. Wait, but also, do we already talk about where we went through the part where that judge or whatever is told to get in the car and like, we don't know where you're going, you'll find out when you open this envelope. And then it just says up, and then she blows up.
I
liked that.
I liked it too.
I thought that was fun. She's like, huh? And then she's like, bye. Okay, so Batman aggressively interrogates the Joker at the police station, who says he finds the Batman entertaining and has no intention of killing him. Having deduced the Batman's feelings for Rachel, the Joker reveals she and Dent are being held separately in buildings rigged to explode, so they're like tied to barrels of oil
to really get them good.
Batman races to save Rachel while Gordon.
One thing I like that he says in the movie is that they're like, what are you going to do with all your money at some point? And he's like, I like gas and like dynamite and stuff. Like it's all cheap. Like it just
the stuff that he's going to spend his money on.
Of course, they don't account for like getting stuff engraved and like all
his other hobbies.
That has a high cost. And
his custom made circus truck.
His fancy suit that he said wasn't
slaughter
cheap.
On it.
Yeah.
Sorry, gas is cheap. Like, this really was 2008. I'm telling you, man. You should try filling up now at the pump, Joker. You might want to just set some of that aside before you set the fire.
And he has
I'll
to employ like 100,000 people who he
so
kills all of them after every mission.
Yeah, it's true.
I did like his suit though.
It
was very
nice.
Well fitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Batman races to save Rachel while Gordon and the other officers go after Dent, but they discover the Joker has switched their positions. Rachel is killed in the explosion. And I didn't want to believe it at first.
Okay,
they had just played that. That would be cool if they did it again.
What?
Same thing as Gary
Oldman.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what's up?
Not dead. But,
you're right. But she had said she would. She said yes to his proposal on the phone right before that.
When she dies, she's like, you know, Harvey, I just want to like tell you something. And then it kind of sounds like she's about to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. She goes, somewhere. And then like,
what?
And then
I don't
up.
Think I got
I
got
to rewind
that.
That
is what happens. And I don't know if she's going to sing. She's going to, maybe.
Yeah, what if they were just like, just start saying something. Just, and she's like being a little silly.
She's
the
like,
actor's
somewhere.
Like,
and then they just
do a funny one where I sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Just to make Aaron laugh.
So Dent, so basically, he falls over trying to get out of his rig, right? But then the oil spills onto one half of his face, and he just doesn't even try to lift his head. He's just like,
no, he's like,
And I was like, what is it, Coke? Like, I was curious what the soup was, you know, that he
Ew,
was being.
Maybe some syrup?
Yeah, because he Maple was syrup? Had to lay in that a lot, so I wondered. The Joker escapes custody, extracts the fortunes, locations from Lau, and burns all of it, killing Lau in the process.
Wow, wow, wow. In Gotham General Hospital, Dent is driven to madness over the loss of Rachel, which he blames on Batman, Gordon, and the Joker. Gordon visits Dent, horrified by what happened to him. Demands Gordon to use the nickname the cops have given him, Two-Face.
I know, they already called him Two-Face?
Yeah.
Which makes me think he was an asshole.
Yes.
It's just all, like, cosmic that they called him Two-Face. He flips a coin
that
has two faces on it.
And why?
And then, actually, I don't know if you noticed this, but he ends up having two completely different looks.
Depending on which way you're...
Happened.
Yes.
Okay.
I did see that this time.
Yes.
So one side of his face is so different.
Mm. I sort of thought it almost went too far.
It was pretty upsetting.
The eyeball's just sitting
just
there. His mouth is pulled completely. It's all just muscle. Uh-huh. And then his mouth is like completely shown. So that actor's teeth are exposed on one half of his face.
Also, there was a part where he wiped his face and parts of his skin was coming off.
Yeah,
because
he tried to drink.
Because he tried to drink something. Yeah,
some fell out.
Yeah, it was fucking gross. Nasty. I was really upset about it.
Part of Batman, you know, is that like Batman and the Joker, like they don't really have superpowers. Yeah. Like they're not like everything is physically possible that they're doing, if implausible. And like with Two-Face, it's like, yes, by all means, fuck up his face.
Yeah.
But don't have it be that, like, it's just structurally, physically could not happen.
No, especially compared
it's too extreme.
Tommy Lee Jones, which was more like, I was a cartoon.
That was a full-blown cartoon.
I mean, feel like that character is kind of leaning into it.
Like, he's like, I'm evil now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then this guy was more like, I should be dead. Like, this is clinically, he refused skin grafts, he refused medication.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm fine with all of it except the suit. Also being like split in two in the same way.
Wait, was
so
it?
I guess I he like
some of it was like singed.
Oh, it's half singed. It's goes straight down the middle. And so you're just like, okay, he went and got his suit from like the bat. They should have just thrown it out.
His eye so unharmed. The eyeball itself is totally functional.
And it's fine that he can't blink or let it ever get lubricated. It literally functions perfectly fine, just rolling around in the sky.
It's pretty upsetting.
It's like the Hocus Pocus.
And everyone takes it pretty well.
Everyone's like, honestly,
no one's like, ah.
Yeah.
Gary Old Man, a little bit, when he turns toward him, is like,
yeah. Wayne Enterprises accountant Coleman Reese deduces the Batman's identity and attempts to expose it. Oh, yeah, that guy's a little asshole.
Well, this is pretty fun.
Lucius Fox is so good and so smart, but it's like the Batmobile blueprints are just like
laying around
in a file for everyone. Never see him find it. He's like, hey, I've got your original drugs of the Batmobile. I have now the identity, like the best kept secret in the world.
But like, then, like, Morgan Freeman's like, so you think that a billionaire is playing Batman at night and you could just blackmail him? Like, basically, like, you're fucked if you try to say this. But I also feel like
does it anyway.
He could have. Yeah.
And he could certainly does it tell by the going Joker, on
like a Manhattan News Network style call-in show. So before he reveals the Batman's identity, people are allowed to call. The lines are open.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have you ask questions, I guess, other than who's Batman.
Yeah.
And then he's going to say who it is.
But it's pretty funny. And then the Joker's watching TV at that time. He's like, hey, don't say anything.
He just like hangs out.
It's really funny.
He's chilling. The Joker threatens to blow up a hospital unless Reese is killed. So while the police evacuate hospitals and Gordon struggles to keep Reese alive. By the way, evacuating a hospital seems like a really stressful situation. Like,
yeah.
It's like, get everyone out of there. I'm like, how the
What if we're in surgery?
A lot of them have machines and stuff.
It doesn't seem like a good idea.
Sucks.
The Joker, disguised as a nurse, which really creeped me out, meets with a disillusioned Dent in the hospital, persuading him to take the law into his own hands and avenge Rachel.
Part of the movie. I'm sure many others have commented on. This nurse... you know, is wearing like a little mask, but even with the mask is like still kind of unconventional looking.
Mm-hmm.
And is like standing over Harvey Dent's bed and he's looking at the nurse and then just like pulls this little hospital mask off and Harvey Dent's like, ah!
It's like all of it was weird before.
Also, what's going on with the Joker's hair? Is it
Jerry
curl?
Like
his
regular? Because he put like the wig on
he
over it.
He had a wig on first when he wanted to shoot someone.
But then, I think it's just sort of stringy, like never been washed kind of situation.
It's upsetting.
It's stringy, never been
washed. He probably
washed.
Stinks like fucking shit.
This is the spot.
Probably.
He's gotta. There's no way he doesn't
smell
bad.
Yeah, his teeth are just like corn.
They're the corniest corn yellow anyone's
corn.
Ever
it was
seen.
So gross.
But somebody's in
solid
that.
Oh
like,
my god!
It's
do
like,
you think the Joker man fucks?
I don't think it's consensual.
That's
my guess.
That's pretty dark. But I think pretty spot on.
I mean, unfortunately, I mean, do you think people are like, "Hey, babe, let's"?
I don't know.
Maybe somebody.
Sometimes you meet people with yellow teeth like that who have a partner, and you're like, "Huh."
It's not traditional. It's not what.
Yellow
it's not what
like
I
that.
Think of. You know, but yeah, because I'm like also like. does he jack off? Like, he's doing a lot of stuff.
I think so.
But does
That's so
he?
Interesting.
You think he
or
might
does he
not?
Get off on denying off. Himself that
he does,
particular
yeah. like,
pleasure?
In the same way he doesn't want to kill Batman.
We don't know,
like,
but the Joker's
pain,
got a kink.
Yeah.
Of
as
some
we
type.
Know, mm-hmm. like, that can be really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it builds up like that.
He definitely, like yes. puts a belt around his neck while he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when he sees Maggie Gyllenhaal at the Dent fundraiser, he does comb his hair.
He
That's
does.
Right.
He does
and so he knows, like, okay, this is not, like, going to work.
Yeah. He goes, like, I have to be a little presentable. Yeah. I can't just, like, roll in here. Like, I just got out of bed. Like, this is a classy lady.
He comes it with a knife, which is, like, not.
I feel like.
He comes that's what he has.
It kind of works.
No, it work. Looks better.
That's
yeah,
kind of hot. I guess he's attractive.
He.
I really think
by
about
the
it.
End of this, we're
yum,
like,
yum, yum.
The Joker's the hottest character in the series.
The look is great, and the nurse scene is like where it does take a leap for me to. This is one of the best performances ever captured on film. I yeah. just think like. The movie was not as good as I remembered for me, but the performance is still like the scene that you reference where he goes like, do I look like a guy with a plan? Or I'm just
no,
like,
I
this
actually,
is so fucking awesome.
This is going to sound really stupid, but it's perfect for our podcast. Mm-hmm. I forgot Batman was in this. I actually thought it was a Joker-based yeah. movie. I had seen it and I was like, I don't remember the Batman part of that movie.
And he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which is insane.
That
it's,
is insane.
It's like such,
was
and
he
won.
27 yeah. when he died?
I think
he
so.
Was, he was
so
yeah.
young, so he was really young in this
he
role,
was
though.
Really
he seems
young.
Older.
Mm, he seems so much older.
Yeah.
Does feel older. Yeah.
Them teeth.
Went ham. It's, yeah. It's
and that
really
scene,
good.
The hospital scene is so iconic. Now you just see it like repeat. It's like memed so
yeah.
often.
Mm-hmm.
So many other things in this movie. I feel like the idea, like you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I feel like.
It's a good quote.
It's now shared completely unironically, like where people aren't just like, hey, you're quoting Batman. did you know that? I feel like people think it's like George Bernard Shaw or something. I just hear people say that.
Maybe I'll get that tattooed to me next.
All right. I support it. Dent defers his decision-making to his half-scarred two-headed coin, killing the corrupt officers and the mafia involved in Rachel's death.
As panic grips the city, the Joker reveals two evacuation fairies.
He only kills
fairies.
The one officer. He punches the other
okay,
one.
Oh, okay. Batman it, fandom it, wiki.
Comes
literally.
Up, comes up heads.
Getting a little mm.
Also, they didn't
the
talk about...
And her mom was in the hospital, so they got her early.
They also didn't talk about the Batman fan wiki about the cell phone inside of a man who wasn't feeling
that
too good.
That was crazy.
Yeah. That was wild.
He's like, I just want my one call. I want my one call. And I was like, who is
really
he going to call?
It was really funny that he kept saying that.
I know.
Cell phone inside
like,
somebody.
I just want my call. kind of silly. And then he calls and
like,
it rings in a man's stomach and then it blows
up.
Which is wild.
Bullies the guard into beating him up so that he can beat him up back.
Yeah. And the guard kind of knows it's going to happen. Seemingly, he's just like, okay.
This is what we're doing.
All right. I am taking the
I
bait
guess
big
he
time.
Wants this. Yeah.
I'm outclassed.
The Joker reveals two evacuation ferries, one carrying civilians, the other are prisoners, and they're rigged to explode at midnight unless one group sacrifices the other.
This was a big dilemma.
It really was.
Sure
so
was.
One group
wow,
had...
it is a dilemma.
It
That's
is
exactly
a dilemma.
What
it was
is.
Kind of stressful. So, like, one group is all prisoners on the boat, the other group is civilians.
It's
and...
something of a prisoner's,
it's a prisoner's
dilemma.
Prisoner's dilemma, isn't
yeah.
it?
Wow.
The prisoners have a dilemma.
I love that. And they have to decide whether they're going to kill them
killed,
or
yeah.
see if they get killed. Or yeah. It's just too hard.
It's wild. And they argue back and forth. But in the end, to the Joker's disbelief, the passengers refuse to kill one another.
Batman's annoying about this because like everyone's going like, hang on, something might blow up. And he's like, no. There's not going to be any fireworks. And it's like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
It's like,
there
when,
might
like,
be.
Somebody's like
know.
So sure of like the outcome of like a sporting event. Yeah. And then it's like, and it happened. It's like, yeah, but it could have not.
Yeah.
Like, why
that
were you
lucky?
Tiny Lister is going to intervene. Seen Friday? An unlikely candidate to fill such a role.
I did like that part. He's
oh,
like,
yeah.
You won't
yeah.
do
what
it.
To him?
I'll do it. Just say yeah. I gave it a
I'm
going to
do
force.
What you should have done like, a long time ago.
Yeah. Throw it out the window.
Throw it right out the window.
Luckily, it doesn't hit the butt.
Throw
the
remote
the
thingy, and I guess I know. Yeah, and the water. Yeah. Just like, does it. cause it to malfunction. You know what? I'm actually just going to put it down.
So Batman subdues the Joker before he can detonate the fairies, but refuses to kill him. Before the police arrest the Joker, he says although Batman proved incorruptible and the citizens still seem to believe in the power of good or over evil, his plan to bring down the White Knight succeeded. I love that scene where he's just like upside down.
Yeah.
That was wild.
That was cool. With the Joker hanging upside down. And then they showed us him right side up. And I was wondering when they decided that should be how we see it, or if he should be hanging upside down.
That I don't know.
Because it was kind of an interesting choice.
But what a fucking performance, hanging upside down.
They flipped it.
I mean, it was great.
That's true. Dent takes Gordon's family hostage, blaming his negligence for Rachel's death. He flips his coin to decide their fates, saying that chance is the only morality in a cruel world. But Batman tackles him to save Gordon's son. We're kind of, going over that pretty quickly. Dent falls to his death. That was a long scene.
Yeah.
Believing Dent really is the
hero. It was really late last night when we got to this.
Yeah.
I said, it's got to go.
Yeah. He's the hero the city needs, and the truth of the corruption will harm Gotham. So Batman takes the blame for his death and actions and persuades Gordon to conceal the truth. Alfred burns an undelivered message to Wayne from Rachel, where she revealed she chose Dent when she could no longer wait for Bruce. And Fox destroys the invasive surveillance network that helped the Batman find the Joker. The city mourns Dent as a hero. Gordon destroys the bat signal, and the police launch a manhunt for Batman. And he runs off between all those crates and things.
Yeah. Which I thought was like pretty decent shot.
And weirdly, it really worked for me, the music at the end and everything, and the whole like, why is he running? Because we have to chase him. Like all that. I like it.
Yeah, I
thought
it too.
Great. I did too. I just felt bad that his reputation was being tarnished, but I like how you explained it. So
There's no real follow. And I actually forget, was Heath Ledger dead when the movie came out?
Wow, I forgot that. Okay. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So it does feel, it's like, I guess he's in jail, but they never really say, he doesn't like get away. But they do. I wonder if they were planning on doing the type of thing that they did with Scarecrow, where like he's really hard to catch for an entire movie. And then at the beginning of this one, they're just like,
put him right in jail.
Yeah, right.
See you later.
It was weird how Scarecrow was there
for two seconds.
Got him. Sit him down.
You honestly didn't have to explain him ever. I didn't need to see Scarecrow again.
I agree.
Fine if he just didn't appear, but sure. So, awards and reception for this film. The Dark Knight is commonly considered one of the greatest comic book adaptations ever made and one of the greatest films of its era. It currently holds a 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Ledger's performance was widely praised, and he won a posthumous Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And it's ranked higher than Batman Begins. I really do find that confusing.
I find that confusing, too. But I think people really just like Heath Ledger's performance.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
I think that really solidified people being like, this is the best one.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight made more money in 6 days than in the entire domestic run of Batman Begins. Its box office total was $533.3 million, making it the highest-grossing comic book superhero and Batman film, the highest-grossing film of 2008, and the second-highest-grossing film ever, unadjusted for inflation, behind Titanic.
Wow. That's crazy. That's
wild.
I feel like the other one made like $40 million or something.
Yeah, it didn't
like
make that much.
I'm making that up. But unlike previous movies,
Would love to have $40 million.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'd be nice, right, my
just
friend?
Like, sure. Doesn't,
yeah, that'd be cool.
No, we don't need to shit on $40 million in order to celebrate the $500 million.
Unlike previous movies in the franchise, this film became part of a larger cultural conversation. Many saw the themes of morality and plot points around interrogation to be a response to the American approach to anti-terrorism.
Let's do trivia. No Wayne. During the first 4 days of scheduled shooting, nothing was filmed.
What?
Nope, not one thing. Instead, Christopher Nolan screened 2 movies per day for the cast and crew with a break in between. Why? The 8 movies were in order: Heat, Cat People, Citizen Kane, King Kong, Batman Begins. Oh, that's funny. Black Sunday, Clockwork Orange.
So we've been watching a lot of movies.
17.
These are all relevant in different ways. Heat is kind of like a cat and mouse game between a good guy and a bad guy. But I do think we should also watch the movie Batman Begins.
We're just showing classics. And also, you might want to know what happened to your character before you got here.
Just a little catch up.
Rachel, obviously, you weren't here for the first one. Maybe you'll want to see what you did before. In preparation for his role as the Joker, Heath Ledger hid away in a motel room for about 6 weeks, diving deep into the psychology of the character and developing the character's eccentric tics, voice, and laughter. His goal was to create a tone that didn't echo the work Jack Nicholson did in the 1989 performance of The Joker.
It's true.
Instead, his inspiration was a mixture of Sid Vicious from the band Sex Pistols and Malcolm McDowell's character from A Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. His vocal coach has said that Heath had to continuously lick his lips due to his prosthetic coming off whenever he spoke, eventually deciding to make this a tick of his character, which was, I liked it.
It's great. I liked it too.
Because it feels like you think that his scars just feel raw all the time. Like,
it's nasty.
Though many speculated that his approach to the character was the cause of Heath's sudden death from drug toxicity in January of 2008, his family has said that he loved playing this role and that it was his insomnia and an accidental combination of sleeping pills that caused his death.
They have to say that, though. It was definitely him.
It was definitely acting. It was definitely doing make-believe every day.
So annoying that people.
Yeah, but they're like, it's the character, not the internal thing in his actual life.
Everyone's really dumb.
And if you survive that, then you weren't committing to it.
Nolan opted for CGI rather than prosthetics for Two-Face.
I thought it was prosthetics too.
That no matter how good the prosthetics were, they would be adding to his face where he wanted to look like part of his face was taken away.
I mean, I thought the mouth thing was somehow real.
I thought it was real too.
But
yeah,
that
I guess
was really well
eye,
done.
That's CG.
The eye
was wild.
Yeah.
Here's a weird little tenuous connection that I made during the film. But so Cillian Murphy, who played the Scarecrow was in Peaky Blinders, which is about all those like roving gangs with razor blades in like the UK. And that is where like there were these razor blade gangs in Scotland that would give you that scar.
Really?
It was called a Glasgow smile, or later a Chelsea smile, where they would cut it, so and then it would hurt and you would scream and it would make the scar bigger and bigger. And that is something they used to do. And that is the inspiration for
Heath
Ledger's makeup.
That's where they got the idea to do that on Peaky Blinders, is he's like, hey, I have actually something from the set of a movie
I did this thing.
The Dark Knight.
But it's just like, he's in the movie, he's in the Batman movie, and then the next movie, the villain has that same
thing. He only does things that
where people have had their cheeks cut up.
I have a question about, so the Two-Face being CGI and stuff. I was watching this movie wondering if like a 15-year-old today or something would watch it and feel like it looks old.
Yeah.
Because to me, it just looks like movies.
That's what
movies look like.
I think it's a good question.
But it came out 15 years ago. And so.
But sometimes I think it goes so far now that it looks more fake. Like it's so. I sometimes have a problem with CGI now, but maybe that's me being older than the people who
I
are
think
enjoying
it's still
it.
Pretty
I don't know.
Good.
Yeah.
I think.
How it is in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But, like, it just feels like the difference. You could really tell the difference between a movie shot in the late 70s and early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But can we just not tell the difference because of being so old and busted?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We got to get a team
in
here.
When we watched, what was it, Batman Begins, I was like, this feels current. I feel like this one also
that
feels current.
To me, it absolutely did. Yeah. It could have been made this year.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. With
I
the
can't
CGI
tell.
Included.
Except the phones. The phones were crazy.
Yeah. The phones were teeny tiny.
I watch like animated movies with my kids now. Like you watch the first like Toy Story or whatever, and you're like, yeah, it looks different.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't look bad to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But a kid, like a younger person could probably be like, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
Like they didn't know how to do it yet. You know?
Scary.
Yeah. Speaking of Cillian Murphy, he reprises his role as Dr. Jonathan Crane, aka the Scarecrow, from Batman Begins. And this makes him the first actor to reprise the role of a Batman villain in the whole film franchise, because he also comes into The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh.
That's right. I think
so
we'll
see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Don't tell us.
While filming the chase scene with the Joker and the SWAT vans, one of only four IMAX cameras in the world at that time was destroyed.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty funny.
That sucks.
Goodbye.
How do they only have four?
Because it's IMAX, dude.
The movie had a huge viral marketing campaign. Those big screens.
Oh.
Including having 22 bakeries around the world, around the country, bake cell phones into cakes. Fans were meant to call the phone and wait for instructions from the Joker. One such cake was sent to a newsroom thinking it was an act of terrorism. They evacuated the building. Well,
Wild.
It doesn't seem good to have a phone ringing inside a cake.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
It's not good.
Not good.
It would scare me.
It would.
It
would scare any old person.
I probably wouldn't even finish my second piece.
The character of Reese is an allusion to the, who's Reese?
The guy who was trying to blackmail Batman.
Oh,
Reese, you remember Reese?
It's Reese.
Sorry about it. Is an allusion to the Riddler, who attempts to reveal the identity of Batman, much like Edward Nygma, whose name sounds like Enigma, as in Enigma. Mystery sounds like Mystery.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't get that. I don't know.
I don't know.
First of all, his name is, I mean, his name's Coleman Reese.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Coleman is a reference to the cold man, Mr. Freeze.
Cold man Freeze.
Mr. Coldman Freeze.
To me, that's just as plausible as this.
That one doesn't feel good. Okay,
that one doesn't feel good.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Tech Nate.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back.
We're back. Holy Batman, Batman. It's our new segment. We'll rate Christian Bale on the definitive newcomers Batman scale. We're going to use our phones to rank Batman across five unique characteristics. Preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective abilities. Does the Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness. How gravelly is this Batman's voice? Sadness. How lonely and brooding emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness. Horniness. How horny does Batman?
So everybody scan this QR code with your phone. And then we're going to get your ratings and we'll aggregate them.
Oh my God. We were just about to do this exact thing on our show. We're just getting into QR codes.
Wait, is Morgan Freeman not in the next one? Because I was pretty upset about him being like, I have morals and I got to get out of here.
He's in there.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
We talked about this, how like Batman is canonically the world's greatest detective, and like he needs to be doing detective stuff in all the movies for whatever, even though like he's not really a detective.
Yeah, I mean, we learned that he was originally a detective in the original comic or something.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably why that's still in there. But I don't feel like he's, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't, that doesn't feel like one of the things I think about when I'm watching. Like, he figured it out.
Fair.
I think he's always popping up and solid. Like, he's always like helping people. But
yeah, he like figures it out as he's going.
Yeah. Well, they don't show the math a lot. Like, there's like the thing where when Mr. Lau walks out and Lucius is like, I think this guy's like business is dirty. And then he's like, you knew already. And it's like he always knows what's going on.
Okay.
But they don't show him like putting it together that much.
Well, he did take a piece of the wall and do bullet ballistics.
That's his big detective moment. That's why I ranked him so high.
Okay. Is everyone in?
We're all in.
Okay. I did it.
Okay, so preparedness, we said 71.5%.
I'm the exception on preparedness. It does the one time where they like save Harvey Dent and then they're like, hey, wait, where'd he go? Like that, he just feels a little bit behind it sometimes. Also, after he does the bullet thing and he knows where the Joker is and like he's maybe about to kill the mayor and stuff, it's during the event. Like the event has already begun. So I sort of feel like he's a little late on that one as well.
Also, why did he go as Bruce Wayne on a motorcycle and not as Batman?
I didn't get
he
that
says,
either.
During the day. Well, that's the lamp. Oh, yeah.
When he hops on, I was like, you're risking a lot right now. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might know who you are.
Get your costume on, sweetie.
But also, Christian Bale on a motorcycle. Ooh.
Yeah,
give me him on a hog again.
Detective ability, 86%. We felt he was a pretty good detective.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I just feel like it wasn't a focus. But I think you're right. The math doesn't show. Like, he usually just shows up where I think if they were showing, they're probably here because
there are other movies where they show, they show Batman putting things together more.
The big one is that crime scene where he's like, I need 10 minutes before your guys contaminate the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Gary Oldman's like, what the fuck? Like, and damn, it's like their job.
Yeah, he figures out, like, he knows what apartment the people are tied up in. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, he does put some stuff together. I thought pretty good job with that.
Voice graveliness, we gave him 100%. It's about as gravelly as it's been.
I don't think you can get any more.
Like, that end
he's
scene.
He's doing it as well as it's being modified.
Yes.
Like, there was one movie where they just lowered the pitch.
Yeah. Where you could barely tell. I think that was Michael Keaton?
No, I think it was who was after.
Val Kilmer. I don't know. But the scene where after he saves the boy or whatever and he's doing that big long speech, I was like, is his throat going to fall out?
I know. Like, it sounds like it hurts.
And he's like, can I just talk like Bruce for a second? Because like it's just so much easier.
Like, not okay for me. I also liked when he was Bruce Wayne and he was talking to the guy who was blindfolded. He did the Batman voice.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great.
That's actually pretty, that's cute.
I guess it's the disguise. But and people talk about this with Superman or whatever, but like Christian Bale's speech impediment is like very distinctive, and the way his mouth kind of like you just look at that and you're like,
his teeth,
mouth does
you are right. He did talk about
his teeth are really
a bunch of teeth
noticeably shaped.
Yeah.
And like, the way his tongue is moving in this GIF, I'm like,
no one else in the world talks like
this. I think I'd be like, I think you're Bruce Wayne.
How did you?
I mean, maybe people are just going along with it so that he keeps doing his thing. Like, you don't want to like ruin it.
But that's why he needs to do such a gravelly voice.
Yeah. He's got a
just like
he's like, if anything,
I'm his twin. Talked to Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne never has a gravelly voice.
Sadness 66.5%.
I thought he was real sad, especially after Rachel died.
I thought he was sad, but I feel like he wasn't that sad.
He's more hopeful in this film because he actually is seeing a way out. He's Harvey Dent's going to save the city. And I'm going to be with Rachel as I think the headspace that he's in for a lot of it. So he's not as brooding to me as other
he's
films.
Much hornier for the next one. Like this entire movie is about him
next
like, wanting
hornier?
To bust.
Next one?
No. Like this
is
much
the horniest,
hornier than he is sad.
We gave him 83% of hotness, horniness.
I think that should be more.
Oh, I gave it a little lower because I felt like I didn't really think about sex with him that much as I was watching this. I just felt like it wasn't. I know he cared about Rachel, but I didn't feel like there was like a horniness. Like,
I don't know. That boat scene really did it for me. Ooh wee.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I wanted more.
Kane's, the whole backstory with the jungle in Burma that they burned down. What was his job before?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He's very cavalier about describing what he was doing.
That he hunted a man and then burned down the jungle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Michael Caine plays Bruce Wayne's butler, Alfred.
Yeah,
he tells a whole story. The whole speech he gives about like some men want to see the world burn. We were hunting this
with a ruby, the shoulders of a jewel thief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is the kind of thing that you do need little breaks in the movie, and there are moments like that where you can just kind of like
zone out,
completely
bit.
Disassociate. Yeah, for
I think
a few
I did because I really
I don't know
remember
what
that
is, but, yeah.
But I did love these two old men just like running around for Batman.
Yeah,
it was like kind of
really
adorable.
They really
like they're his two dads.
Him. Yeah,
yeah,
it's nice. He has helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right now our averages have made it so that Christian Bale is the top Batman one and two. Then we go to Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, Kevin Conroy, Michael Keaton again in Batman Returns is number six. Adam West is number seven, and lowest on the scale is George Clooney right now.
George Clooney,
yeah. Right now.
Yeah,
we don't
right
know.
Now.
This you could change.
Not his fault.
I'm surprised Batman Returns isn't higher.
I think we just loved Christian Bale so much.
Yes.
That it kind of just blew everything out of the water. Yeah. Also, we had other people weighing in. You know, it's like Kevin Conroy, I know, is a huge fan favorite, and we had Doughboys on ranking that. They probably were like more obsessed with him than we were about Michael Keaton, and it throws it off, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
And I was a little tough on Batman Returns because I didn't realize we were going to watch Batman Forever.
Yeah.
And that was going to be that.
And also, Batman being sad like contributes to his score here, for example.
Yes.
I didn't know we were doing an overall score.
I didn't either.
True that Adam West wasn't sad.
He's not.
No,
so
not at all.
He should be lower on that.
Yeah.
We also have the new segment from Taryn Killam. How did the score score? So go around and give your one sentence opinion on the score soundtrack of the movie. Who felt anything? This was again by Hans Zimmer.
Thought it was good.
I thought it was good as well.
Yeah. Like, it made me feel things.
Me too. It's moody. It's like, it's funny because, like, comparing it, we didn't talk about the scores much with the previous films.
No.
Where the scores are insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, with Tim Burton, and but also, more importantly, I would say the one with Joel Schumacher.
The Schumacher
one. Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. It's like, where you're like, was there music?
Yeah, or it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it as much in this one, except for
the ending is when I notice it. When he's running and he's like, why does he have to run? Because we have to chase him and the music's building up.
Right.
I find it really emotionally effective.
Yeah. Yes. And Mary Holland yesterday was like, Hans Zimmer talked about how he only uses two notes, really. It's like,
One is,
and you really.
And the other one is,
The only time I noticed it is on the WB logo. When it like ripples, it makes like a hall sound, and you're like, "Oh yeah, we're
here." Didn't use as much score in this because I know, like, I feel like Inception and Tenet and Oppenheimer, there is music the entire.
It's way bigger
film,
than,
like it's in so
Inception.
Much. It's just like, I mean, Oppenheimer, it's like every, because most of the scenes are people like talking in like an office of some kind.
But I heard
there's
that.
So much.
It's like
music underneath,
louder
it.
Than the talking or something.
The music is constant, and then there's like a big climactic scene where they kind of drop the sound out, and I'm like, this is so incredibly effective because there's been so much sound the whole movie. It's like, I think he got more into it.
Five kapows, it's time for reviews. We are going to be reading reviews from Letterboxd, and we also will each give our own one sentence review of this movie with a star rating, so think about that. But for anyone who doesn't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films. You can follow our show on Letterboxd at Newcomers. Are you guys on Letterboxd?
No. I made an account, but I've never used it at all.
Mm-hmm. Just protecting your name.
Yeah.
I just don't want anyone else to be able to pretend to be me on Letterboxd.
I like to let the movies speak for themselves.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lil Yankee gave it 5 stars and said, everything has been said.
And
wow, what a review.
Yeah.
Half a star, Elias R. Garcia said, an overrated film that ain't got nothing on Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's a crazy take. You love Batman and Robin,
I did love Batman and Robin.
Okay.
It was just so unhinged.
Yeah.
And every choice was the wrong one.
Yeah.
And they put it all together and released it
that.
To the public.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's camp.
What would you guys rate this movie and what do you want to say about it?
What's the rating system five that I'm stars. Doing? Five stars?
One through five, or I guess a half through five?
Yeah. I'm going to give it 4.5 stars.
I was going to say, when I the first time I saw it in the theater, I think I gave it 5 stars, which it also may be a better theatrical experience than just a movie. Because when he did jump off the big high building in Hong Kong, I was like thinking about the IMAX experience of that. Where I was like, God, your stomach must drop when you're in the theater seeing this. Like, So I do think that like it dropped down a little bit for me from first viewing, but it's got to be, four and a half. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it in IMAX when he's like drifting on his motorcycle and the wheels are like turning to the side, being like moved. I was like tearing up. I was so, it was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it hold up for you?
Yeah. I mean, not like, I would totally give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
I think it rocks. And my one sentence review is something Sean said on our show years ago that I still think about all the time, which is, why are you being so serious?
I'm going to give it 4.5 stars. And I'm going to say, it's more of a Joker film than a Batman film, but I'm here for it.
I'm going to give it also 4.5 stars. And I guess I'm going to say, I like the Joker. Give me more Batman.
Yeah.
And where Katie Holmes at?
I miss her a little bit. I love Maggie Gyllenhaal, but...
I'll give my one sentence. Sorry, I forgot to do it. My one sentence review is, you either die a 5-star theater experience or you live long enough become a 4.5-star home experience.
Wow.
That's right. Totally.
That's such a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
A review, I should say. And we also love to read reviews of our own podcast.
We do. We love compliments.
This one's from someone who just typed every letter on the keyboard, and they gave it 5 stars, and they said, please come back and do Batman with a happy
tear. Well, guess what, motherfucker? We're in the thick of it!
So please go review us on Apple Podcasts. We'll pick one to read on the next episode, and read us on Spotify. Give us 5 stars.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
Hollywood Handbook and
hatpackhat.biz.
Go to the hatpackhat.biz and go buy a hat.
They're cute.
They're nice.
They're made by Kevin Bartelt's fiance, Leah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're so well done. She's so great.
Right here in America?
Yes, right here embroidery. In LA. Yeah.
And, you know, you can't find a hat like this for under $30 except at hatpackhat.biz, where they're $29.
Wow. Ooh, and that's a steal.
Can you believe
that's a true
it?
Steal.
It's a high quality piece.
It's great. The embroidery is great. The design by Hank Eubank, great. Everything about it. Yeah.
Oh, I just noticed it's like a sunset that looks like a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a hat. Yeah, it's a hat.
It's a hat on a hat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hat. okay. Well, thank you guys for being here. And we're going to be back next week with The Dark Knight Rises. Which I have no idea what that is.
I have no idea. This one, I had some inklings as to like what happened, because I think I've seen it before. Yeah. But this one, I don't fucking
know.
So
excited for you.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Who's
for you
the
to
villain in this
it's
one?
It's a special one.
This one is the best one, but that one is the most special.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's the most special?
The one coming up, I just think, is so rich.
It's really, there's a lot to it.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot there. When I actually started watching this, I accidentally clicked on the other one just because the first couple words are the same in the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I started and I knew right away, no. This is the special one.
Yes, I will. Okay. I will be going back to
as
I was watching this one and loving it. I was thinking, I cannot wait to rewatch.
Because we've been on a steady
incline
for me.
Yeah.
I loved Batman and Robin. Loved Batman Begins. I really liked The Dark Knight. And then you're saying this one's going to be special.
Who's coming to do it?
Mandzukas, I think.
Great.
Yeah.
Let me say this.
Yes.
You have my permission to watch newcomers. That's a little reference you'll get later.
Means nothing.
That means absolutely nothing. I'm like, what?
It's a podcast. All right, bye.
Bye. Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Kanivskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song.
Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.